Good morning. Glad to see you with us this brisk morning. We're talking about bad company this morning. Now, some of you might be thinking about a 70s rock band. I assure you that is not the subject of this morning's lesson. The Proverbs, which I have preached from the Proverbs some, I have made reference to the Proverbs in probably nearly every lesson that we've had, but very few times have I taken a section from the Proverbs and just expounded on it, and that's what I want to do this morning, especially this section. Proverbs, of course, is in the section of the Bible that we call the wisdom literature. Other books that fall into this category are Job, Ecclesiastes, the Psalms, Song of Solomon. Roughly 40% of the Old Testament falls under the category of wisdom literature. And our brother Denny Petrello wrote, quote, "The wisdom written in Proverbs was inspired by God centuries ago, but still holds relevance for us today who are trying to make prudent decisions and lead lives that point others in the direction of Christ." That's what we're to do. And as we talked about in Bible study this morning, the church is a self-perpetuating organism. We make disciples so that they can go forth and make more disciples. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, and he told him plainly, "The things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So we learn the gospel, and we live the gospel, and we obey the gospel. We are to thus teach the gospel, and we are to hand these things down to generation after generation. And so our desire, as we learn wisdom from the gospel, is that we are to try to lead our lives in such a way that we point others to Christ. And here in a few moments, we're going to sing an invitation song. And we know that it's not the Lord's will that any should go to hell. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all might go to heaven. If God had his own will in our lives, everybody would go to heaven. But God created us with the freedom to choose, and we can choose to obey Christ and go to heaven, or we can reject Christ and go to hell. I would that the Lord would have his own way. And so we'll sing the song in a little while, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." And I urge you to let the Lord have his way. Become a child of God today. Live your life for Christ and dwell for eternity in heaven. Solomon begins the Proverbs, this specific proverb, with the purpose of the book in general, verses 1 through 6. To impart wisdom, verse 2 says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, and to young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel, to understand a proverb and an enigma or a mystery, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Those times when our parents were trying to teach us something and we stubbornly turned away and said, "I'm not going to listen," that was very foolish. It's foolish that even though God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, many people reject the words of wisdom found in the Bible. So the first six verses give us the purpose of the Proverbs. And verses 7 through 9 stress for us the importance of wisdom. James records for us that if any man lack wisdom, let him pray of God who gives to all men liberally. We need wisdom. Facts alone are not enough. We have to have wisdom so that we know how to use and apply the facts. That's like having a toolbox full of tools and not knowing what to do with them. It's like having a pantry full of food and cabinets full of all kinds of cooking implements and utensils and not knowing any recipes, whether in your mind or in a box, or how to use them. We can have all the facts in the world in the Bible, but unless we have wisdom that comes from God, they are useless unto us because we don't know how to put them into practice properly. And so once this introduction is done, Solomon moves swiftly to his first point. Now, Solomon writes, especially this first psalm, as though he's writing to his son, someone of his own flesh and blood, whom he loves deeply and wants eminently the best for him. And so we get a sense of the passion that Solomon is writing with. He points out to his son regarding his son's friends and potential friends. The wisest man ever to live, King Solomon, had many, many important things with which he wanted to address and teach his son. And Solomon starts with his son's friends, his son's associates. The wisdom of shunning bad company and choosing wholesome company. Solomon knew the following things. Number one, our friends can determine our interests. Now, while Solomon is directing this to his son, and typically preachers preach this to younger people, none of us, regardless of our age, are immune to peer pressure. We all have peers. Solomon knew that his son could be swayed by another whom he liked or respected. We have that tendency. There is such a thing as a mob mentality. We've seen it in recent days, where a few people get an idea, and then a few more join them, and then a few more. And there are people that show up to just watch the spectacle who have no plans of getting involved, and before you know it, they're shouting the loudest because of this mob mentality. The latest music fad comes down the pike, and Hollywood says, well, this is what you're supposed to like, so everybody jumps on board, and that's what they like. The latest sports figure gets a new contract, and now he's famous, and people jump on a bandwagon. Now, not everybody can and will have such an effect on us.
When I watch TV, I watch news, and I flip the channels from MSNBC, CNN, Fox, and whatever, and I try to get the full spectrum and end up being dumber than I was when I started. But there's this, I don't agree with everything everybody says. I try to keep it in the middle of the road. Now, some people will watch the news and they disagree with everything that's said. And other folks will watch the news and whatever this channel says or that channel says, why, it's gospel. Which tells us that somebody's not thinking. But not everybody can have an effect on us that can lean us and can sway us. I had some friends when I was a kid, and they liked, some of you are going to flip out, but they liked the rock band Kiss. And I liked these guys. They were fun to hang around. So I started liking the rock band Kiss.
much to my parents' chagrin. And I really didn't like him at first. But I hung out with these guys, and so as a weak-minded youngster, I was swayed by their preferences. And so when somebody just automatically said, "Who's your favorite band?" Kiss. And I liked them, I guess. Until the first time I heard Bill Monroe. And you talk about a culture shock. There is someone out there who can influence you. They can influence you to good, or they can influence you to evil. It could be a parent, it could be a teacher, it could be a friend, a coach, a coworker, a celebrity that you've never met and who does not know your name and does not care that you live. But somebody can influence you. Someone out there can prompt us to try new things which may or may not be good and wholesome. People need to learn to think for themselves and in harmony with Scripture. The kind of music that our kids' friends like might become the kind of music our kids like. What if it's that dark and vulgar music? The kinds of people that our friends like and hang out with. What if they hang out with sinful kids, which is really becoming an epidemic in the country, because the real problem is that there are so many people in this world today, even in my generation, with no claim or religious affiliation of any kind. There's no standard of morality being taught. The only thing our kids are learning today, it seems, is if that you're supposed to tolerate everything, and the only thing that you can't tolerate is intolerance. That if you call a man a woman, then it's a woman. What are going to happen to our kids? What will happen to us if we choose to associate with ungodly people? Solomon knew that if his son chose sinful friends, they could destroy his son's interest in God and anything holy and righteous. For example, turn to 1 Kings chapter 12. The nation of Israel was about to divide. In 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. Jeroboam heard about it. And Jeroboam goes to Rehoboam. Verse 3 says, "They sent and called him. Then Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, 'Your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore, lighten the burdensome services and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you.' So Rehoboam said to them, 'Depart for 3 days and then come back to me.' And the people departed. Verse 6, then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived and said, 'How do you advise me to answer these people?' And they spoke to him saying, 'If you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, they will serve you forever.' So the old wise men told this young man Rehoboam, 'You be a good leader. You listen to the people. You tell the people that, you know, that they're okay. They'll serve you forever.' Rehoboam was unsatisfied. In verse 8 it says, "But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him, and he said to them, 'What advice do you give? How should we answer this people who have said to me, lighten the yoke which your fathers put upon us?' Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, 'Thus you should speak to the people who have spoken to you, saying, make it light.'" Verse 11, "Say to them, 'Whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, I will chastise you with scourges.' So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, and as the king directed, saying, 'Come back to me the third day.' And the king answered the people roughly and rejected the advice which the elders had given him, and he spoke to them according to the advice of the young man." So instead of listening to the older, wiser men, he listened to his peers, and he made things harder on the people. Peer pressure won out. In one instance, Peter, after meeting with the Lord, the resurrected Lord, and the Lord had departed from the upper room with them, Bible says in John 21:3, "Simon Peter said unto them, 'I go a fishing.' They say unto him, 'We will go with thee also.'" That's a simple thing. The guys, they have some time on their hands. They don't know what to do. Peter says, "I'm going to go fishing." And the other father says, "Yeah, let's go fishing." Now, what if Peter had been the type to say, "I'm going to go out and get drunk"? "I'm going to go out and find a score and get high." He might have swayed the other apostles as well. We see how peer pressure can work. Secondly, we learn from verses 11 through 14 of the proverb that our friends can shape our character if we allow them. Solomon feared who his son might choose for friends and what they might do. Look at verse 11. "If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood, and let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like the grave or Sheol, and whole, and like those who go down to the pit, we shall find all kinds of precious possessions.'" So his friends, what if he hung out with friends and said, "Let's go and hide, and then we'll catch somebody coming by, and we'll come out and beat them up and take their money." How does one come to be this way? How does one get into such a lifestyle of robbery and drugs and drinking and cussing and dirty jokes and lying and gossip? You know the quickest way to stop a gossip? Don't listen to them. If they don't have anybody to listen to, who are they going to gossip to? People become this way because they choose the wrong kind of people as friends on many occasions. Solomon knew his son could become like them. Paul has an inspired piece of advice for us, and I want to read this from the New American Standard. "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." And when Paul says, "Do not be deceived," he's saying, don't think this can't happen to you. "But I was raised in the church, and I know what's right, and I know what's wrong." Now, if you're going to go out to the world and try to evangelize, that's one thing. But if you're choosing people who are anti-God, anti-religion, anti-morality, if you choose that kind of person to associate with, socially, chances are they're going to influence you more than you influence them. I don't know why that's the case. Could it be because in the world's eyes, sin is more fun than being righteous? That's the excuse, I guess. I don't think it's the case. Paul encouraged them in this context. He was encouraging people not to listen to those who doubted the resurrection. What are our kids in school learning? They're not learning creation. They're learning that they came from a blob billions of years ago. That's sinful to teach that. And it's just as sinful not to straighten out our kids who have to be subjected to the lies of the thesis of evolution. Evidently, some can be deceived into thinking they are immune to temptation and sin. Frank Higginbotham, our late brother Frank Higginbotham, told me of a woman. She said, Frank, once I got saved, she didn't say baptized, she got saved, like, you know, somebody got the cold or the flu. She got saved, she said, since I got saved, I haven't even been tempted to sin. Frank smiled at her and said, I wish you hadn't said that. Some people think they are too strong to fall to temptation. Paul gave warning in 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Some who say, well, I'm immune to sin, and I'm immune to temptation to sin, and I would never do anything. I would never start drinking, or I would never start smoking, or I'd never cuss, or I'd never lie. They think they're too strong to do these things. That's the wisdom of the world. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:25 that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. Thirdly, our friends can have power over us. And by power, I mean influence. The power lies within the anticipated rewards. Look what the friends are offering Solomon's son in verse 13. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. We're going to go out and rob people, and we're going to get fat. And that's just one example. Peer pressure is powerful. Look in Genesis chapter 3 with me for just a moment. You know this story well. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which Jehovah God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, thou shalt not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, ye will not surely die. Satan said the same words that God did, but he added a word. God said, you shall surely die. And Satan said, ye shall not surely die. It's amazing how one word changed all of history. You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh. She saw that it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes. And it was desirable to make one wise. Pride of life. 1 John 2:16. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And it was all because of peer pressure. We look in Exodus 32 and we see the account of Aaron and the golden calf. Moses was on Mount Sinai and he delayed his return. And after close to 40 days, the people said, what's become of Moses? He's delaying from coming down the mountain, Exodus 32:1. And the people gathered together to Aaron, and they said to Aaron, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, and this was a pivotal point. Aaron could have said, no, God has told us, thou shalt have no graven images. But Aaron said, all right, break off your earrings and your jewelry and your nose rings and your necklaces and all that stuff, and we'll make a god. In verse 4, Aaron received the gold from their hands, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. And he said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you up out of Egypt. Why did Aaron do such a foolish thing? Why wasn't Aaron man enough to say no? Moses said to Aaron in verse 21, what have you done that you've brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, do not let the anger of the Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, make us gods, so that shall go before us. And I said to them, break off your jewels. Peer pressure caused Aaron to make a very great mistake. We see Peter in Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75. He was afraid to admit that he was with Jesus Christ because of the people, and three times he denied our Lord. So peer pressure is powerful. We've seen it in Scripture. Secondly, peer pressure is recognizable. If we are thinking people, we can recognize peer pressure. Peer pressure tries to get us to do things that are wrong. Look at the case of Adam and Eve we just talked about. Look at the first Psalm, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth at the seat of the scornful. What are these people trying to do? They're trying to get him to do something that is wrong. But this man is not going to do that, because Psalm 1 and verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's where our mind and our heart needs to be. It needs to be saturated with the Word of God. Therefore, we can recognize peer pressure, and we can just say no. And our lives will be so much better off. Peer pressure tries to get us to please man rather than God. Paul wrote in the Galatian letter in verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please man, I should not be the servant of Christ. If we seek to be servants of Christ, peer pressure can't touch us. Bad company can't ruin us. Peer pressure wants us to lie to escape difficult circumstances, like Peter did. It was an uncomfortable circumstance. His Lord had been arrested. He was surrounded by enemies. You know this man. Surely you're one of his disciples. Your speech betrays you. And Peter says, I don't know him. He lied to get out of a difficult situation because of peer pressure. So peer pressure is powerful. It is recognizable. But I want you to know this, brethren and friends, beloved. Peer pressure is defeatable. We can overcome it. We need to make friends with people who are going to help us get to heaven, rather than those who are going to drag us into hell. Many times we have that option. Sometimes we don't. I get that. But we have to strive for environments that are going to enable us to pursue righteousness. That's why it is so important. And I always try to encourage young people, when you go looking for a mate, try to find a Christian. That's the responsibility of the husband, to try to get his wife to heaven. And the responsibility of the wife is to try to get her husband to heaven. And that is so much harder when the two are not Christians. It's not impossible. But why not make it easier? Give yourself every chance to go to heaven. And we have to study God's word. And we have to learn about people like Daniel, who the Bible says purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's dainties, or the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself. We need to study about people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3, who refused to bow down to the image of the king. He decided, those men decided, they said, O king Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If it is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship that golden image which you have set up. They did not bow to the peer pressure. And even though it potentially could have cost them their lives, God was with them. Young and old alike, you need to make good choices about who your friends are, about whom you choose to associate with in your spare time. Now, I realize you may have to work with rogues and sinners. You have to go to school with them. But you don't have to become like them. We must be spiritually minded and concerned with the things of God. And if we, like Daniel, determine in our hearts that we are not going to defile ourselves, then peer pressure can't touch us. We can live our lives faithfully. And heaven can be our home eternally. Are you ready to let God have his way with thee? Will you today become a New Testament Christian by confessing your faith in Jesus Christ, confessing your willingness to repent of your sins, and allow us to immerse you in water for the forgiveness of your sins? If you've done that, but you've not been faithful, perhaps you've allowed the world to creep into your life, you can come forward repenting. We don't want to know what you've done. You tell that, that's between you and God. But you let us know that you need to repent, and we'll help you. We'll pray with you and pray for you, and we'll study whatever you need. Don't leave this building this morning if you do not know that if you died upon leaving this building, that heaven could be your home. Let's go to heaven, and let's take as many with us as we can. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, please come now as we stand and sing.